Experience the spectacular, the celebration of the Christ child at Christmas. Dr. Tony Evans and the Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship present Emmanuel is Here, Sunday, December 20th at 10 a.m. Central Standard Time on Facebook, YouTube, and the OCBF Online Church. Join us for Emmanuel is Here, a nine-part musical extravaganza that will amaze you with epic performances by nationally renowned recording artists. Anthony Evans, Patrick Dobson, and Myron Butler. Along with the harmonious sounds of the OCBF Unity Choir, Band, and Orchestra, Dr. Tony Evans delivers a powerful narration of Emmanuel is Here, bringing us hope over despair, faith over fear, and victory over defeat. Join us for Emmanuel is Here, Sunday, December 20th at 10 a.m. Central Standard Time. We will see you there.
The Kingdom Agenda. Hey, good morning, church family. Welcome back to services online at Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship. We've missed you this week, but we are here to lift up the name of the Lord. We're here. Our pastor's here. He's ready. You're going to hear a dynamic message from him. But at the end, we want you to get your bread, your juice, because we're going to have communion together. He's going to lead us into that. But right now, we want you to just stand on your feet, lift up your hands, and enter into the presence of the Lord. And may the Lord bless you as we worship the Lord today.
Merry Christmas, OCBF. It's already that time of year again, and we have something to celebrate. So let's celebrate together.
As big as the sea. Won because of who you are. Say, Well, are you excited? Well, I know I am. I'm excited every time I get to bring God's truth to God's people to encourage you, strengthen you, and encourage me and strengthen me. So I trust that all of us get blessed by our worship and by the word. It's an honor to be able to come to you each week and to hopefully say something based on scripture that drives you to the word and to the author of the word, our Lord. So look at the scriptures, review the scriptures, think about them, pray over them, and invite God to transform your life based on what the word of God has to say. Again, if you live in the Metroplex and you're looking for a church home, if you're in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, we would love for you to find out about our church, ocbfchurch.org/membership. You can find out how to become a member of our church so that we can serve you and so you can use your gifts to serve the Lord so that we can all become what we call kingdom disciples, full-time representatives. Jesus is not looking for a bigger fan club. He's looking for followers. Disciples, and that's what we're trying to develop here at Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship as we experience God together. Our mantra is the kingdom agenda, the visible demonstration of the comprehensive rule of God over every area of life, and we want him to see him invade all of your life for good. So go online and find out about our membership class designed to encourage you. And again, honor the Lord. That's what the Bible calls giving, honoring the Lord. You're saying to God, I only have one source. My job is not my source. My bank is not my source. Those are great resources, but they're not your source. God is your source, which means those things never have the final say-so. Only God does. And since you recognize God as your source, he says, demonstrate that recognition in two ways. The tithe, the first tenth of what you get, is not yours. It's first fruits. It's holy to the Lord. When you take what is holy to the Lord and use it for some other purpose, the Bible calls it robbing God. Now, I know it can be misused by somebody, but you have to give it to the Lord. That's why you want to know where you're giving it to make sure the Lord can use it through whatever ministry it is you're giving it, starting with your local church. Our members at Oak Cliff are so faithful in their giving, and we praise God for them. And if you are part of a local church, and you should be, make sure you support that church. Above that is called the offering, what you give over and above the tithe. If this ministry is blessing you, then give an offering so it can keep blessing you because we want to be a blessing to you. Our ministries here, we have over 100 ministries serving people throughout the community in all kinds of ways. And that's how we use the gifts given us. We use it for ministry and only ministry. And so we praise God that we are good stewards of the resources he provides us. Well, it's time to continue our worship as we prepare our hearts for the word, because the word of God is life transforming. And we want it to be transforming for you. And as we come upon this holiday season, we're looking forward to the 20th, because the 20th of December will have a special Christmas presentation for you to enjoy and be blessed by. But right now, let's continue our preparation for worship.
Can't go back to the beginning. I can't control what tomorrow will bring. But I know here in the middle, here's the place where you promised to be.
of us knows what it's like to hear the groans of a woman in labor, the aches and the pains that are associated with childbirth. Those groanings are bad news in a good situation. It hurts. But the reason why it hurts is because something new is being birthed. The fact that something new is being birthed doesn't take away the pain of the process. But the pain of the process is not limited to the pain of the process, because the pain of the process is to produce something that will bring joy. The reality is that life hurts. All of us would love a life with no pain, no anguish, and no sorrow. But if you've lived long enough, you know that life hurts. There are those times in life when you groan because of what has come upon you, circumstances that have affected you and infected you, and it causes you to groan. In Romans chapter 8, we discover another ministry of the Holy Spirit. And this is the ministry of intercession. He is by name an intercessor. An intercessor is someone who appeals to someone else on behalf of a situation or another person. They are a go-between. They're like a lawyer who represents a client as he pleads their case before a judge or a jury. They are interceding in a situation because there's trouble, there's difficulty. Romans chapter 8 says that we have an intercessor when life causes us to groan. He speaks, beginning in verse 18, about suffering. Suffering is the pain of negative circumstances hitting you and overwhelming you. The trials of life that are oppressing you and causing you to be afflicted and inflicted with negative realities and circumstances. He says, I consider that the suffering of this present time, the things that we go through in this life and in this world. He starts off by telling us that suffering, pain, in fact, groaning, is part of the created order. Look at verse 22. For we know the whole creation groans and suffers the pain of childbirth together until now. So you see, he relates the groaning of childbirth to the groaning of creation. We've all seen creation groan. This is a theological way and a spiritual way to understand earthquakes and tsunamis and hurricanes and medical pandemics and viruses that seem to come out of nowhere, wreaking havoc in our lives and in the natural world order. He says those are not merely just events. That's the groaning of creation. Creation is in pain. So we are part of something much bigger. He's going to talk to you and me personally, but he wants you to know that to live in this world is to live in a world that groans. But he says the groaning that you see in creation is like a woman groaning in childbirth. And a woman only groans in childbirth because something is coming down the pike. Something is being birthed. If you only see the suffering and you miss spiritually and theologically looking at the birth, then you will only see the pain and you may miss the purpose. He says creation is in an upheaval. And this leads him to verse 23. And not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. Okay? You see the word groan? He goes from creation groan to personal groan. We know what it is to groan at financial calamity, to groan at our own sickness or personal losses, to groan at disappointments with people or with ourselves, with our careers, with dreams that are dashed, and they cause us to ache within ourselves. This is, you might call this a soul ache. Because when you ache within yourself, that means it's getting down to your bosom, or as I like to say, it's getting down to your gizzard. It's collapsing your inside, and you are groaning. In the midst of this groaning, he says there is the Holy Spirit, the third member of the Trinity, who has a responsibility when you are collapsing in your soul. So if you are collapsing at the circumstances that you've seen all around us, or the situations you are feeling right now, Romans 8 is for you. Because if you are a believer, you have somebody who loves you enough and cares enough about you to intervene on your behalf with your soul ache. It may have been external circumstances causing it, but it's ripping at the very fiber of your being, and you are having an internal hurricane, an internal pandemic, an internal tsunami, because it's ripping at the core of your being. He says in the midst of this, in the midst of your groaning, we are waiting eagerly, verse 23 says, for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. He says creation groans like a woman giving birth. We groan for the redemption of our bodies. In other words, groaning caused by the pains of life that produce the soul aches within us is designed to prompt us and promote us and refocus us to an eternal spiritual perspective. Let me say that again. When you are groaning within the depths of your soul, like a woman who is groaning because it's time for deliverance, it is to shift your focus. Groans are designed to produce a spiritual shift. If you don't make that shift, you don't ignore the groaning because it hurts. A woman in childbirth doesn't ignore the pain because it hurts. But she is able to deal with it, handle it, and work with it because she knows it's groaning for a reason. It's purposeful groaning, not purposeless groaning. He says, for the redemption of your body. In other words, he wants you to understand that this life is not all that there is. Now, most people, even Christians, live this life as though this life is all that there is, until we get a stark reminder from the doctor, or because of the loss of a loved one, or because of situations that have spun out of control, that we are not to make more of this life than we ought to. We can't ignore it, but don't give it more than it ought to have So God will allow reminders to enter into our existence called suffering to force us to a spiritual perspective. He uses the body. He wants you to know this body is not your last body. So he'll let this body hurt, this body ache, to force you to anticipate the new body that is to come. In other words, he's forcing you to a spiritual perspective. If you fail, if I fail, if we fail to allow the groanings to recalibrate our perspective, then we will not experience the benefit of the intercessor. We'll talk about that in a moment. The work of the Holy Spirit joining us in our pain, in our problem, and in our groans. For example, in Romans 8, verse 6, for the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. The mindset on the flesh, if you're looking at life only through a human physical lens, then you are operating in a funeral home. You're living life in a funeral home or maybe in a cemetery. Can you imagine living in a funeral home? Living in a cemetery? He says, if your mind is only focused on the human limitations of life, then you are living your life. Far too many Christians, because he's writing to Christians, live their Christian lives in a funeral home. That is, they live in the realm of death. That is, not experiencing God's reality because of where they are thinking and how they are looking. God will allow groaning to force us to look at things at another level from a different perspective. He says, but the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. It's like walking outside of a funeral home on a bright sunny day, hearing the birds sing and chirp, having a nice breeze blow by you, seeing the flowers bloom, and you only can say, what a beautiful day, because you're surrounded by life. You're not in the funeral home. The mindset on the flesh, the physical realities of life void of God, you will live your life miserably, even as a Christian, because you can't get away from the groaning. It's built into creation. But if your mindset is of the Spirit, that is, you are looking at things spiritually, you now have divine help as you work yourself through the groan, like the mother working herself through the pushing of labor to get the baby out. And so he goes on. And he goes on in verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes. Here is the intercessor. He intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. You know when you're hurting, and you're really hurting, because you can't even get it out. You're making sounds. Maybe you're just going, Maybe you're saying, I don't know what to say. Maybe you can only grunt because the pain is so deep. Maybe you can only cry because the loss is so great. The hurt is so unraveling your existence. And you are groaning and it is so deep, you have become weak. He says, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. How deep is the weakness? You don't even know how to pray. Have you ever been that bad off? Where you didn't know what to say to God, how to say it? When life crashes in, and you are oppressed from every side. You want to quit, you want to throw in the towel, you want to run away. Well, the Apostle Paul knew what that was like, because the most spiritual person in the New Testament went through this. So I got comforting news for you that you can love the Lord and still hit rock bottom. Spiritual people can hit rock bottom. So your spirituality is not necessarily tied to you hitting rock bottom. This is not due to sin. This is due to circumstances that made his knees buckle. He talks about it in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Listen to what he says. Verse 8. For we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction, which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life. Didn't think we could live. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves. That sounds like Romans 8. So that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. Do you see that? Things got so bad, he didn't think he would live. He despaired of life, but it forced him to a spiritual perspective. I wish I could tell you life won't collapse. I can tell you personally, as you can tell me personally, life does collapse. And that must cause you, me, and us, because God is allowing it to force us to engage with our intercessor, the Holy Spirit. And you know it's time for engaging at that level because you're groaning. Inarticulate expressions of anguish. That's what we mean by groaning. Inarticulate expressions of anguish. You can't even get the words together to express the depth of the pain that you feel. And so he says in Romans chapter 8, the groanings that are too deep for words, verse 26, and then verse 27. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes, the intercessor intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Oh, this is rich theology that's practical. When you are hurting, because it's practical when you're in pain, but you don't know how to pray, it's not that you don't want to pray, it's not that you're not trying to pray, you just don't know what to say. You don't know how to say it. You can't put the words together. God seems too far away for even for you to make contact. I've got good news. You have somebody praying with you and for you when you can't even pray for yourself. Isn't that good news? That the Holy Spirit groans with your groaning. When you go, he puts heavenly communication to it in order to deliver it to the Father. Notice what he says. He, God, verse 27, who searches the hearts, knows the mind of what the Spirit is. So wait a minute. The Spirit is listening to your groan, and God is listening to the Spirit communicating with him about your groan. I don't know if you caught that. All you can say is, All you can do is hurt. You want to make contact with God. It's not that you're not praying at all. It's that you don't know how to pray. You don't know. All you can say is help, because you don't even know how to put together your feelings. He says you have an intercessor. Now, this is interesting, because Hebrews 7:25 says Jesus lives to make intercession for us. Oh, we got the whole Trinity up in here. The Father is searching the Spirit intercedes, but Jesus is the intercessor. Let me put it this way. When you are groaning because life hurts and creation has caught up with you, what the Holy Spirit does is he creates a vocabulary that fits the environment that needs to hear it that you can't articulate. Every Sunday at our church, we have those who do sign language for those who need it. These are people who need visibly the words to be communicated to them so they can understand what I am saying, because they're not getting the ability to clearly get it from me. So the folks who know and understand the language use their hands to communicate to those who need it what I am saying. Those who know sign language intercede between me and those who need signing so that they can get what is being given. The signers are intercessors. They are the in-between representatives between me and who need the ministry. You have somebody who understands you, but also understands heaven. And when you are groaning, he puts it in heavenly language. Jesus Christ, who intercedes for us, Hebrews 7:25, then can take it and deliver it to the Father, who searches the mind of the Spirit. I want you to read in detail. We don't have time to go over it now, but 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 to 16. It talks about how the Spirit and God know each other so well. You ever met a couple who knows each other so well, they can just look at each other and they know what they're saying? In fact, I saw one wife look at her husband a certain kind of way, and all the husband said was, "I heard that." She didn't say a word. But she didn't, because the relationship was so intimate that the look made a whole sentence. When you're in a foreign country and you don't know the language, you need an interpreter. You need somebody who can be an intercessor between you and between the people you're trying to talk to, so that there's communication taking place. When you don't know how to communicate in the weaknesses of life, Paul was struggling with a sin in Romans chapter 7, not a sin that he wanted, a sin that he wanted to get rid of. But he didn't. He was struggling so deep, he even cries out, "Who shall deliver me?" I mean, he's groaning in such pain. That's when he writes chapter 8, coming after chapter 7, about the role of the Spirit's intercession. In fact, if you love the Lord, you're probably praying more than you know you're praying. So you may think you're praying only when you're formal or only when you're verbal. He says, no, you're praying when you're groaning. So I got good news. You're praying when you don't know you're praying, because the groan from the heart, he says, from the heart, not mere words. He doesn't just want to hear mere words. Isaiah 29, 13 says God's not interested in just rote, empty words. But when the heart is crying out for God, he says that's a prayer, because the Holy Spirit takes the heart and creates a heavenly vocabulary to deliver it to a foreign country, heavenly places, the spiritual realm. So God has clear understanding of what you meant by Lord, have mercy. Help. However that groan, that, and sometimes it's the shaking of the head, because it's often inaudible. You're in too much pain to say anything. You're just closing your eyes and gritting your teeth because you're hurting so bad. Sometimes the groan is reflected in tears, where all you can do is weep and hurt. Well, I want you to know that form of praying, because you're trying to reach God, you're trying to communicate with him, even though you can't articulate it clearly, is not being missed by God Almighty, because of the Spirit, he says, that dwells in you. Now, why must the Spirit be engaged in your groaning? Because you're trying to reach God. In other words, you're trying to connect with the spiritual, because the groaning has forced you. See, when things get bad enough, you pray like you don't normally pray. You see God like you don't normally see God. You talk about heaven like you, and that's why when people are transitioning from earth to heaven in death, God will make their bodies not function properly or hurt worse, so that they long for heaven more, because that's the final focus he wants them to have. We have interim focuses on our way there where God wants to drive us to a new spiritual orientation through the work or the intercession of the intercessor, the Holy Spirit. But he says he does this according to the will of God. Why must he do it according to the will of God? Because when you're groaning, you might be asking for the wrong thing. You may be putting in a wrong request because you're in pain and all you want is get rid of it. Paul says when he put us through pain, God wanted me to learn to trust him at another level. So you may miss that altogether because you want to get rid of the pain. So the Holy Spirit takes the groaning and he surrounds it with the right request. 1 John 5:14 says that God always answers prayer according to his will. In other words, if a prayer is in the will of God, you're going to get an answer. It's going to be answered. Now, we pray for what we want, but God guarantees what he wills. So the idea is to make sure what you want is what he wills, so he'll answer your prayer. But you and I don't always know what his will is outside of his word. That is the application of his word in a specific situation. And even if we know his will, we may not know his timing. So we need somebody else who can get a little bit more into what God is thinking than we may be aware of living in the physical realm. He says, you have the Holy Spirit and he is going to clarify the request so that the request is manipulated, so to speak, into the will of God so that you wind up, even in the groan, experiencing God's will in your life. Now, you're going to learn a great truth here in a minute that's going to blow your mind. When you are hurting, you know, we have with all this computer stuff and everything, a help desk. Guess what it is? It's designed to help. It's designed to guide you in the right way, direct you in the right place. He says, you and I have a help desk. Verse 26, the same way the Spirit also helps our weakness. So you're weak. You want to quit. You want to give up because this is labor pain we're talking about. You want this child to get up out of here. And we know sometimes it takes a short time for the baby to be born. Sometimes you're in labor for a long time. And what do you get? You get help. You get nurses coming in. You get doctors coming in. Maybe there's family there and they're rubbing your forehead. What they're doing, they're talking to you. They're holding your hand and patting your hand. What are they doing? Joining you in their weakness, in your weakness or in the mother's weakness. They are not the professionals. They can't take away the pain, but what they do is join you in it. The Spirit of God joins you in the weakness, leading you to God's will. You see, when we pray, we want to put in an Amazon order. You know, we want Amazon to deliver this thing, and I want it here quick. We want Amazon Express, okay? What God wants is his will. Now, how in my weakness, which you're going to have, if you live long enough, you don't even have to live that long to be a groaner. When this happens and you are struggling so deeply, you can't even articulate it, but your heart is Godward. And here it is, the verse we love. We love verse 28, but we don't always connect it with 26 and 27. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. He says that the Spirit is helping to conform you to the will of God. He shows you now how that happens. It happens because God, watch this now, providentially arranges things. This is the doctrine of providence. Let's talk theology. Providence is the mysterious way in which God intercedes and interconnects things in order to unite them for his sovereign purpose. Sovereign, okay, let me make a distinction between a miracle and providence. A miracle is when God transcends his laws that he's built into creation. People call it natural law, like the law of gravity. Well, when God skips the law by canceling it, transcending it, delaying it, like the day in scripture when he stopped the earth from rotating for a period of time, that's against the normal laws that he's built into creation. When God trumps that, cancels that, or interrupts that, that's a miracle. A lot of stuff we call miracles aren't miracles at all. We just not used to seeing it. But a miracle is when God trumps his own laws. Providence is when he works within his laws to stitch things together to accomplish his sovereign goal. Sovereignty is his goal. Providence is the way he connects things in order to reach that goal. Now, in order for you to see his providential work in your life and my life, particularly during a time, because he says, and he's connecting verse 28. In order to see this working out, he says to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So he says there must be heart affection for God. What does it mean to love God? To love God means to passionately pursue his glory. You love God when you want him to be glorified. Okay? You love God when there is a heart. It's not just your feelings. It is the decision to pursue his glory. It's stating, not my will, but thy will be done. It's in the midst of your groaning that you are loving God. You're moving Godward. You're moving to the spiritual. You're leaving the funeral home and the cemetery because you want to live in the light of his presence. Now, he says, what the Holy Spirit does is he takes your groans, puts them together in heavenly language for the purpose of God's providential work. When you bake a cake, you have a number of ingredients. You've got flour, you've got sugar, you've got nutmeg, you know, you've got butter, you've got egg, and your sovereign goal is to bake a cake. Those individual ingredients by themselves, you do not eat. You don't eat a stick of butter. You don't eat a whole bevy of sugar. You don't drink from the nutmeg. You don't do that individually. That would be a painful experience until you introduce the blender. Now you put all the ingredients inside the blender, all things needed to bake a cake, and you integrate them and interconnect them. You put them in the oven of groaning. It's hot in there, but it's only hot because of what you're producing. Without the heat, you don't get the product. As you are mixing it together, rising up in the oven after the blender has done its work is good. You're smelling a cake. You're being levitated into the kitchen because something good is coming out of ingredients on their own would not be meaningful at all. God has a cosmic blender in the universe and, more importantly, in your groaning situation. This is the time not to run from him, but to run to him. If you run from him to the flesh, to your own selfish human approach that leaves God out, you are operating and asking God to help you in a graveyard, in a funeral home. But when you say, Holy Spirit, when you say, God Almighty, my groans are coming up to you. I am running to you. Though you slay me, yet will I trust you. When you move Godward in your pain, The Holy Spirit who dwells within you turns the blender on, having communicated with God, and we know. Oh, I love this. Not and we guess. Not and we think. No, and we know. Confidence. You can be confident of this promise of God that if you are Godward, because you want him to be glorified, even with the groan, you're Godward, that he is stitching things together that don't look like much now. But when he finishes cooking, or as Job says in Job 23, I looked for God, but I couldn't find him. But when I come forth, I'll be pure as gold. When he finishes baking me in the oven of my affliction, I'm going to come forth good. At the end of life, as a believer, you're going to come forth heaven. That's good. In life, as a believer, as he takes you through the groanings of life, you're going to come through good, because you're called according to his purpose. Now, what will be good about his providential cooking in the heat of your life during the groans of your circumstances? Verse 29, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. There it is. You know what God wants to happen when he finishes cooking? When you come out of the oven? Conformity to his son. You know, one of the big purposes of groans is to make you more like Jesus. I want to challenge you to ask a question or to make a request. Lord, yes, I want you to remove the groan. I want you to remove the reason for the groan. Make your request. Ask. Ask what you want. But then say, Lord, I submit to your will. But whatever you do, make me more like Jesus. When you connect that, let me talk about the word conform. You know, the Bible talks about being transformed. But one of the ways God makes us transformed is by making us conformed. What's the difference? Transform is when he changes you inside. Conform is when he molds you outside. Conform is what you do with putty or clay. You can make a plate or a bowl or a dish when you squeeze it and mash it and shape it. So God allows circumstances external to conform us in order that he might transform us internally. Conforming is for transforming. So if he's pressing you, stretching you, it's because he wants to now change something or develop something in you. And the Holy Spirit, whose job it is to connect you with the spiritual, the Holy Spirit's job, that's why I love James chapter 4, verse 6, chapter 4, verse 5. Or do you think that the scripture speaks to no purpose? He jealously desires the spirit which he has made to dwell in you. God is jealous for the Spirit because the Spirit is the thing, or the Spirit is the third person of the Trinity dwelling within you. So the Spirit knows you better than you know you, and God knows the Spirit because they're intertwined in the Trinity. So everybody's knowing everybody at a deep level. So the Spirit can articulate what you can articulate. So the Father, who knows the Spirit, will fully understand that articulation. Jesus is in the mix between the two, and you got the whole Trinity working all things out. And when you see God providentially, that's what you want to look for in your life every day, but especially doing groans. You want to look for how the intercessor is making his case. You know, a lawyer is an intercessor in a courtroom. And what does the lawyer do? He makes his case because he's trying to sway a situation. When you see the intercessor, and that's why you should be thanking God for the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are going to plead my case along with Jesus Christ before the Father, so that all things are going to be stitched together. I can't see it now. I don't understand it now. I don't know how all this is going to work out. But you said, therefore, I know all things. All things are going to work together for good, and I will come out of this thing. Now, you know what this means? Providence means there's no such thing as luck, chance, happenstance, or fate. So you can leave those words out of your vocabulary. They don't even belong. I know sometimes we just say it to say it, but you never use those words and mean it. There's no such thing as luck. There's providence. God stitching things together. It looks like luck. It feels like luck. I happen to be here at the right time when this person showed up, or I happen to go there, or I happen to take this road. See, all that is God stitching things together when you love him. Now, if you don't love him, then you're not experiencing, and he'll even use your bad to accomplish his purpose, but you'll have to pay consequences. But if you love him, if you're pursuing him, especially doing the groans. So I want you now by faith to thank God. To thank God, not for the pain of the groan, but for the purpose of the groan. God, I trust you. You got it all in your hands. You've got it all worked out. I don't understand it. I got bumps and bruises. I don't even like it, but I trust you in it. And I thank you that the Holy Spirit is going to make sense of this. I don't even know what to say, but in my confusion, Holy Spirit, explain this to God, because I can't. And tell him I love him. I need him. I trust him. I want him. And all things with confidence are being stirred up so that he is glorified, so that I'm going to be better off, work together for good. And then I'm going to be more like Jesus in my attitudes and actions, in my character, and in my conduct. Because God, it wants to make us like Jesus, whatever it costs. Whatever inconvenience he has to give us to make us like Jesus, he's going to do that. Because Jesus is the firstborn of many brethren. God wants Jesus to have lookalikes, you and me. A little girl one day was given a 500-piece puzzle. She's given it for Christmas. She tried to put it together, but it just wasn't working out. The daddy said, "How are you doing?" She groaned. She said, "Not doing too good." In fact, she said, "I quit. I quit." "Why are you quitting, baby girl?" Her answer was simple. "There are too many pieces." Life feels like that sometimes, doesn't it? There are too many pieces. When we think one piece fits, it doesn't fit. And it messes up other pieces. And then there are a lot of pieces. And I can't make sense of the pieces. She says, "I quit. Too many pieces." The father came and brought to the daughter the cover of the box that the puzzle came in, because he just poured it out on the table and she didn't see the cover of the box. When he brought her the cover of the box, it was a picture of Jesus with all the parts connected of the puzzle, but it was all put together on the cover of the box. She tried it again, but this time always looking at the cover on the box. And the more she looked at Jesus, the easier it was for the pieces to fit. And she conformed the pieces to the picture on the box. And what took a long time on her own, which made her want to quit and groan, now became, it still was some work, but now it became a productive product and process, because she kept her eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Life has a lot of pieces, and it feels like a puzzle. But if you keep your eyes on Jesus, he'll help you put them together again so that you wind up looking like him. And so you'll see, it really was good when he got finished with what he was doing, even through your and my weaknesses. Now, I know in life there's trouble, bittersweet. Sometimes bitter, sometimes sweet. But the bitter can be real bitter. That's why you need Christ in your life. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, as your personal Savior, I'm not talking about going to church. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm not talking about being a nice person. Those are nice things, but none of those things makes you a child of God. The only way you become a child of God is by accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, believing that He died for you because you are a sinner. You need forgiveness and you need a Savior. Jesus was born of a virgin, lived a perfect life, died a substitutionary death on the cross, rose from the dead on the third day, and offers salvation free of charge for all who come to Him alone for it. Will you come to Him now? Simply by saying, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner, and I want you to be my Savior. I place my confidence, faith, and trust in you alone now for the forgiveness of sins, and I receive now your forgiveness and your eternal life. And if you're a Christian already, then you can celebrate even in your sadness, even in your groans, even in your tears, even in a pandemic. I want you right now to celebrate that all things are working together for good. Why don't you just tell Him that? Thank you, Lord, that all things, emphasize, underline, all things are working together for good because I love you. And because you've given me the Spirit who can interpret what I can't even understand. I love you. And I want your will worked out in my life and make me more like Jesus. If you put that combo together in your groans, then the providence of God will blow your mind when He finishes doing what He's up to. The bread is His life given for you because He's your intercessor. Shall we eat together? The cup, blood shed for you because He's in heaven right now. Holy Spirit in you. Jesus on the right side of the Father, the Trinity, and all of them are batting for you. Hey, let's drink together and give thanks for that. We love you, Lord, even when we don't understand you. We love you in our groans. Help us to groan spiritually and not to groan from the graveyard of our flesh. And we'll give you the glory and the honor because you are worthy. In Jesus' name, amen.
What a word, what a word. And thank God for Dr. Evans and the preached word. And again, we thank you that today accepted Christ for the very first time. Your sin barrier, what a blessing, being added to the family of God. And then we enter into that communion time, as always, to break bread and drink the wine together. And we remember what He done. And He did it just for you. So go on to YouTube, Facebook, on our webpage if you want other information. But we look forward to having you back here next Sunday, same place, same time, that we can continue to be fed the Word of God from our pastor here at Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship. We love you. We miss you. Thank you for being with us today.